Today on Real Radio.
God does not change his mind. Some of your Bibles have inaccurately written, and God changed his mind and didn't bring judgment to the Ninevites. That is the furthest thing from the truth. And that is, by the way, a paraphrased rendering of the Bible. The true scripture in their original language says that God relented, that is, he did not bring about his judgment, implying what we know from scripture is this, that God brings judgment, and in fact, God is holding judgment over the head of every human being until they do what Nineveh did.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days are freely. Give you my praise, my heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch, Lord. I live for your love.
Hello, and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Old Testament narrative of Jonah. We're in a mini-series called A Change in Government. Seems that the warnings of the runaway prophet were heeded, all the way up to the man occupying the head office at Nineveh. Our study is taken from Jonah chapter 3 in verses 6 through 10. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
When we look at verse 10, there's three things that we notice. Jot them down. Regarding God becoming king or Lord of our lives, it's this verse 10, that his kingdom is sought after. How do we know if Jesus Christ, you ought to write this down. How do I know if I'm a Christian? If you ever doubt that, you ought to write this down. How do I know if I'm a Christian? Answer, do I seek after his kingdom? Is that in your blood? To seek after his kingdom. Verse 10 says, then God saw their works, that they had turned from their evil way. I call this the power of option. And the power of option to me means this, that every man and woman, boy and girl in this world can either cast themselves before God and ask them to ask God to forgive them of their sin, or they can turn and run away from God. That's the power of every individual, their exercise of option. Are you seeking after the kingdom of God? Is it important to you? If seeking God out, now I want to be careful. I'm stressing seeking God out. I am not implying that you seek out a church, this church or any other church. If you're visiting on your trek to find a church, keep this in mind. Do not get pressured by a church to become a member of their church. The Bible teaches that there's one body, and that's the believers in Jesus Christ, that we've been baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Jesus Christ, and that is the body universal, worldwide. You will not go to heaven because you're a member of the First Baptist Church or the Lutheran or the Methodist or that you attend Calvary Chapel. All of those basic divisions that we meet at various addresses simply means this, that we focus on, or at least we try not to focus on, certain peripheral issues. But concerning the essentials of Christianity that leads a man to salvation, we all agree. To be outside of that is to be a cult. And you need to know that. A cult will offer some other way. A cult will offer their book plus the Bible, their apostles plus the teaching of the scripture, their leadership and the Bible. No, it's Bible plus zip. God is God. He sits in heaven. We are on the earth. He's the Lord, and he has preserved for us this awesome word of God. And I love the fact, look at it. We're living in the 21st century, and this Bible is absolutely perfect and flawless, and it drives people crazy. They want to believe there's something wrong with it. They want to believe that there's a flaw in it, yet no man can produce one problem. And I love how science advances more and more, and the Bible stands there firm, waiting for modern interpretation of science to come and see that the Bible was right all along. I love it. Oh, I could go off on that. I won't do that. But when his kingdom is sought after, everything changes, my friend, in your life. Everything changes when God is sought after and his kingdom becomes a reality in your life. All bets are off. Why? Because now the king has entered into your life. He sets up a kingdom in your heart. Jesus says it's being born again. In 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose hearts are loyal towards him." Don't you want your heart loyal toward him? Listen, kingdom, submission, lordship, loyalty. It just goes. Subjects. Don't you want to be a subject to King Jesus? Man, that's my desire. In fact, when I'm not subject to King Jesus is when I goof up. It's when I get in trouble. 1 Samuel 12:24 says, "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all of your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you." Please write that down. I'll tell you why in a moment. 1 Samuel 12:24. Consider what great things God has done for you. For me. An awesome example of this, what the Lord does, Matthew 5:18, and while you're writing that down, be thinking, am I giving God thanks and am I letting people know what great things he has done for me? Remember a moment ago we all raised our hands as Christians? Is there a witness that's coming out of our lives about what great things God's done in our lives? Number one, we're not going to hell. That's a good one. I saw a guy in the store the other day and he had a shirt that said, "Heaven, yes, hell, no." I thought that was pretty good. Mark 5:18. "And when Jesus got into a boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged Jesus that he might be or go with him. However, Jesus did not permit the man to go with him, but said to him, 'Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had compassion on you.' And the man departed from Jesus and began to proclaim in all of Decapolis." Decapolis is the regions of 10 cities. "That Jesus had done for him, and all of them marveled." Isn't that great? The demon-possessed man. By the way, we've been to Gadara. Remember when we were there? We got out of the bus. It's an awesome sight. It's completely desolate as it was back in Jesus' day. It was Gentile lands. It's where all the pig farmers were at, which was illegal. It's on the eastern slopes of the Galilee. And there's a only place around the entire Sea of Galilee where there's an area of about 300 yards where the cliff along the shore is steep. And the Bible says that at this point where this demon-possessed man was, he lived in tombs, and there's, by the way, archaeological tombs there that you can see. The pigs that were in the area were possessed by the demons that resided in the two men that were recorded in Scripture, and the pigs ran violently down a steep place and into the Sea of Galilee, and that's the only spot that could have ever happened because it's not steep anywhere else. And what do you find there? Archaeological evidence, and there it is, of ancient tombs where the man once dwelt. I love that. He was set free. And he says, "Jesus, I'll follow you anywhere. Let me follow you." Don't you think any pastor would have said, "Sure, you can be part of our church. It's growing. It's growing. Look, it's growing." No, Jesus says, "I want you to get out of here. You've been living in a bunch of crazy tombs. You're naked. You look like a mess. Your hair's all whacked out. You smell like pigs. I want you to out of here. I want you to go home, and I want you to tell people what great things God has done for you and how he's had compassion on you." Could we not say that? Where did you come from? Where did I come from? It doesn't matter if you were born with a silver spoon in your mouth or a clod of dirt. Look what great things God has done for us. Again, for one, we're going to heaven. And I have to say this. It's weird to even say because I know it's impossible. But let's say the scriptures were not true. Let's say God did not exist. And let's say Chuck Darwin was right. We all evolved. Well, wouldn't you live the end of your life as a Christian and having regretted all the things you missed? Are you kidding me? Gee, I have a family. I have an incredible church family as well around the world. I have peace. I lay down at night. I go to sleep in a moment. My mind and my heart's at ease. I'm guilt-free. I'm not hooked on crack, coke, or booze, or sex, or anything. I'm free. I can do it like Augustine said. I can do anything I want. I'm free. I can live any kind of life I want. I'm free. But I want to live for Christ. Well, how sad it would be if you lived the end of your life and God turns out to not be real. No. Don't pity me. I've had a good life. I can tell you now, and may I give God the glory publicly, if I died today, I am so grateful my life has been lived to its fullest. I don't have to do one thing in this world. I don't need anything. And everything, when He is Lord, that comes from that moment on is frosting on the cake. Will God give me? Will God give you tomorrow? We don't know, but we know this. If He does, it's frosting on the cake. Do I have to go and watch the stock market tomorrow to see if my retirement's going to be okay? If it goes good or not, you know what? It's His concern. What I eat tomorrow, what I do tomorrow, it's under the Lordship of Christ. I'm not going to worry about it, though I'm on a diet. Lordship, seeking after His kingdom. God puts that in our lives. And so that man went back home and told people the wonderful things that God had done in his life. Acts chapter 8, verse 5. Acts 8, verse 5 says, then Philip went down into the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things that Philip said, hearing and seeing the miracles of God, which he did. For unclean spirits, demonic spirits, crying out with loud voices, came out of many people. Wow. And many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. I should say so. Jeremiah 29:13 says, and you will seek me and you'll find me when you have searched for me with all of your heart, seeking the kingdom of God in your life. And I can just tell you personally, I'm telling you personally, that God has kept His word in my life. But can you say that personally? I hope so. I trust you can. Yesterday, we're all out there working on the property, and we're gluing sprinkler pipes together. I got so excited, I almost hurt myself. Because I can't believe it. You know, 10 years ago, we're sitting in a house. I was an engineer at Baxter Healthcare in Newport Beach. None of us had any plans of this. Then you look at the building, and people go, what are you thinking? People are asking me, what are you thinking? I don't know how to answer that. I don't know how to respond to that. This was just a home Bible study with six of us from Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa in Chino Hills. We had no plan. And now we have an address, 4201 Eucalyptus Avenue. There's a building. I know that's just a bunch of concrete, it's nothing. But when God uses it, it can become everything. And I can't believe it. I mean, don't get me wrong, I believe it. But I can't believe it happened in my life, in my lifetime, and I'm gluing pipe together. God, Lord, I can't believe this. Over 10 years ago, we got in Mark's truck, we went to Builders Emporium, which is now where Vons used to be. And Builders Emporium was going out of business. Remember Builders Emporium? We scrounged some money together and bought folding chairs, and then we bought some chairs with pads on them. For just a gathering of some people, we didn't know what we were doing. We didn't know how we were going to pay for these chairs. Remember, we bought 144 chairs, and they went into the children's sanctuary across the street. We thought, how are we going to fill these chairs? I walk around, I can't believe it. I feel so removed from what's happening at that address. I feel so removed from what's going on in your life. I have to sit back and watch. And for you, I'm saying on your behalf, God, look what great things you have done in their lives. It's amazing to me. It's awesome. He is so great. And we live in a world that would have us take Him or leave Him like He's nothing. What great things has He done in your life? God saw their works, that they had turned from their ways. They believed God. They humbled themselves before God, we read before. They cried out to God. They turned away and they turned toward God and they trusted him. The book of Acts is a great book. I encourage you to read it always, but it's not done being written, in my opinion. Is the book of Acts going on in your life? Let God change the government of our hearts and the way we think, and everything changes. No longer we begin to talk about, you know, what I want and what I need and what I can have, but it's, God, what do you want to do in my life? And so the Gentile Ninevites, they're learning this. Verse 10 goes on to teach us regarding the change of government. When God becomes king, it's when his perfect will is embraced by us, when we begin to embrace his will, people. It says in verse 10, God relented from the disaster that he had said would come upon them, that he would bring to them. People, God does not change his mind. Some of your Bibles have inaccurately written, and God changed his mind and didn't bring judgment to the Ninevites. That is the furthest thing from the truth. And that is, by the way, a paraphrased rendering of the Bible. The true scripture in their original language says that God relented. That is, he did not bring about his judgment, implying what we know from scripture is this, that God brings judgment, and in fact, God is holding judgment over the head of every human being until they do what Nineveh did, until that person says, God, forgive me. And guess what? That axe is removed from the back of your neck, so to speak. Does God love you? Oh, yes, but let's be honest. The Bible says God loves us, but the Bible also says, but he's angry with the wicked every day. Every human being has got, as it were, an axe that's laid just an inch behind their neck. And with a stroke, a man could be taken away. If it weren't for the grace of God. In an instant. And the Bible says it's appointed unto every man once to die, and then comes the judgment. But God, the scripture says, is waiting for that person to come and to call to him. And then that axe is turned into his blessed hand. Any good parent, by the way, any good parent, you never want to spank your child with your hand. Use an instrument that is the object of the discipline of the correction. You know, you got like a little wooden spoon or a little this or that. Because dad, mom, when you reach your hand out to your child, that should be as an extension of the grace of God. You don't ever want to say to a child, you want me to take this hand and knock you out? That kid will fear you. You can always tell, by the way, when a child's abused in a public setting, perhaps, you pick up on this when you spend time around people. The father reaches across, or the mother reaches across the table to grab salt or whatever at the restaurant table, and the kid flinches. That child's abused. God will never abuse. He never does that. He reaches out with his hand to save. God is not desirous of judgment. It says that God relented of the disaster. And I wrote this down in my notes. I cannot believe how people argue with this, that God would relent from this. How come God did this? Are you kidding? I'm so glad he did it. I'm so glad he does it. God relented from the disaster that I had so heaped up for and upon myself. But God didn't bring judgment upon me. Rather, 2,000 years ago, he placed his judgment upon his own son upon the cross for me. And you can have that same wealth this morning, by the way. You can say, man, I've done something wrong. I'm in trouble. As it were, God's axe is against the back of your neck. But if you call out to God and say, God, forgive me. I'm sorry. I repent of that sin. It was wrong. And God, I don't want to walk that way anymore. I want to do like the Ninevites did. I want to come and follow you, Lord. Then that axe is removed and dropped, and God's hand caresses the back of your neck. He scoops you up. He holds you in his arms. And he says, I have called you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. He doesn't change his mind. He's a God holy who must exercise judgment. But when a person calls out and says, forgive me, God says, you're forgiven. Come into my family. Come into my kingdom. All is forgiven. Isn't that awesome? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 regarding the Lordship of Jesus Christ. This is the life of the believer. In everything give thanks. Everything, you know what that word means, everything? Yeah, it means everything. In everything give thanks, that means trusting God. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You're gonna go out today and you left your lights on like that one brother did last week? Ran his battery down? God, how could you do this to me? I'm with the church. Oh, man. Did God say, leave your lights on? No. God probably trying to talk to you. Why did you leave your lights on sitting in church? And everything give thanks. God, I thank you. I was probably apparently in need of a new battery. Will you learn that? Will I learn that? No, we're often diehards in that area. Ezekiel 18:32 says, for I have no pleasure, listen, this is God speaking, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. The Lord says, turn and live. Ezekiel 33:11 says, oh, that the wicked would turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways, for why should you perish? Listen to his heart. Isn't he wonderful? It's his nature to turn from his judgment and bring a blessing. It's his nature, and we need to understand that. That his wonderful rule in our lives is to get us to follow the God who loves, says the Bible. The God who loves. I encourage you to read your Bible and understand the nature of God. You will find out that God, Yahweh, Jehovah, Jesus, the Holy Spirit of Scripture, is a God of love. The Bible says God is love. It says it in the Bible. Isn't that comforting? Pick up other religious books. You will not find that. Certainly pick up the Quran. You will not find not only the name of God. His name's not in there. You can't know him. And the word love does not appear one time. But violence does. Against Jew and Christian, it says in the Quran. What did Jesus say? Love your enemies.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a study called A Change in Government, a look at Jonah chapter 3 in verses 6 through 10. This has been a series within a series as we journey through this Old Testament narrative of Jonah. Join us on Monday's broadcast of Real Radio as we continue in this series. Remember, this study series is available in an 11-CD package simply called The Book of Jonah, A Study by Pastor Jack Hibbs. For your gift of any amount to Real Radio, we'll send it out to you. Whatever you contribute, large or small, goes toward covering the costs generated in bringing you this program each weekday, and it's all tax-deductible. Call, click, or write, just be sure and mention the title, simply Jonah. Visit us at realradioactive.org and read all about it under the banner Special Offer. That's www.realradioactive.org. Or call us using our new toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. You can also write to us, include your donation when you write to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, any details you may have missed are easily found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.